Welcome, guys, to episode 91 of the Behind the Shield podcast. As always, my name's James Gearing, and this week I have a slightly unusual interview for you. A while ago, I interviewed a friend of mine, lawyer Mike Cleland, who's also a retired firefighter all the way through to chief. And Mike invited me back to talk about a couple of things, but including a project he was working with now called eHome Heroes. As you know, my goal is to not sit here and just whine about problems, but bring solutions as well and try and fix, you know, our profession and make everyone's lives better. And Mike and his colleague, Rogers Curvin, have an incredible new platform called eHome Heroes, which is an online counseling platform. So this isn't kind of an endorsement thing. This isn't a sponsorship thing. It's something that Mike came to me that I think will definitely be of use to the people that choose to try that application to help either their department or even personally. So that's what I wanted to bring to you today. We did a face-to-face in his office. As I always say before we start, please go to iTunes, rate the show, give us reviews, share the hell out of the episodes. If you're listening to this now, my friend Bull is still walking through Florida, so make sure you check out March of the Bull and sign his petition. With all those things being said, I bring to you Mike Cleland and Rogers Curvin. Enjoy. All right, welcome guys to Behind the Shield podcast. I am doing a second face-to-face interview with Mike Cleland, and we are joined by Rogers Curvin. And we are going to be elaborating on some of the topics that we talked about last time and bringing an exciting new avenue in the PTSD therapy realm to you guys. So firstly, Mike, welcome again.
Thank you. Thanks, James. Good to be here.
Brilliant. It's a little awkward because we're all sitting here. All right, so I want to let's open up with what the kind of buzz has been with the PTSD, specifically in Florida. There's been a lot of talk about Governor Scott signing the PTSD bill. So why don't we open with that as a kind of icebreaker? So if you could tell us what the bill is going to allow first responders in Florida to do, and then what some of the challenges are still going to be.
Sure. The current law in Florida as it relates to PTSD and first responders is that it provides medical treatment only. Typically, in any workers' comp case, there's a wage loss benefit if you're out of work together with the medical treatment. But with PTSD and first responders, it only provides medical treatment unless a physical injury accompanies the post-traumatic stress, which is a rare situation. So there was a big movement afoot this session to try to take away the physical injury requirement in order to get wage loss for first responders. And it is terribly, terribly difficult in Tallahassee to get anything moving, especially something like this. I suspect the insurance lobby was very, very aggressive, but the Florida professional firefighters and even the CFO and fire marshal, Jimmy Petronas, did a heck of a job in getting a bill passed that the governor will sign today in Tampa that under certain circumstances, the physical injury requirement in order to get wage loss is taken away. It is definitely a significant step in the right direction, but it falls short, in my opinion, for a vast majority of those who have some degree of post-traumatic stress, because it I don't have the bill language in front of me, but it's very, very narrowly tailored. But it will protect some of those who have significant post-traumatic stress as a result of certain criteria, and that's spelled out in the bill. It includes infant death. It includes mass casualty, such as the Pulse shooting. Very, very a limited number of events can invoke the wage loss that is not in the current law, and that will take effect October 1st of this year.
Okay, so the people out there that can't report one specific very, very traumatic event, but it's more of a cumulative thing over their career, maybe more challenge than in this?
Yeah, that's an understatement. I don't think it'll be a challenge. I think they're going to fall through the cracks because the legislation is written such that particular events have to happen. And as you know, I mean, I'm a career firefighter, did 26 years, and you've been on the job quite a while. Post-traumatic stress, in I think a vast majority of cases, is a culmination of alarms that we witness that ultimately end up in development of post-traumatic stress. The bill does not, as I read it, cover any of those as it relates to wage loss. Now, the medical component of that will stay in place.
Right. Okay. Well, brilliant. So we're going to transition then. So in the history of this podcast, we've talked to many people. We've talked to people like Jake Clark that had Save a Warrior and you know, other projects that have bloomed from the ground up. We've talked to Dustin about Red Line Rescue. I know you and he had a conversation. But you're bringing something very new to us today. So I obviously sometimes we do more questions than this, but what I want to do is just give you the mic and you guys tell us, you know, from the beginning how this was formed and what you've got to bring to the first responders.
Yeah, I'm incredibly excited, and it sounds cliche, but I'm really, really excited to have met Rogers Kirvin, who's the founder of eHome Heroes, because this project provides mental health counseling, face-to-face mental health counseling with, and I'll let Rogers explain the details of the program and how people are screened and treatment is given, but it's by way of your cell phone or your tablet or your home computer. Now, you know as well as I do, first responders have been reluctant and are still reluctant today to come out of the shadows and admit they have PTSD for a whole host of reasons. Number one, we're supposed to be tough. We don't want people having access to our medical records if we come out. We don't trust EAP in large part, particularly with law enforcement officers who I've spoken to. And this completely eliminates all of those reluctancies or apprehensions, because you have at your disposal, in your pocket, your counselor. And you have face-to-face video conferencing sessions in order to treat the post-traumatic stress. So that just is a sort of very cursory review of what this program provides. I'm going to let Rogers Kirvin describe in greater detail the benefits of this.
Thanks so much. Appreciate being here. Let me give you the why. Let me start from the beginning. I've been in the venture capital business. That's why I knew about Isle of Man. We had an office there. So... So I hear that accent and I think, okay, here we are. There's somebody I know. And so I've been in the venture business my entire life. And I was on the back of a boat a number of years ago. I'd lost my wife to cancer. And I was saying, you know, what do I need to invest in? What do I need to build? And I was reading the stats, the military stats of 22 vets killing themselves every day by suicide. And then I started doing some homework and research on first responders, and it's equal or greater. According to the Harris Poll survey, 80% of all firefighters have a traumatic event every month. 90% of all policemen have a traumatic event every month. Now, one of our investments was in e-learning, where we put classes online. And as those classes, in the beginning, the classes were, oh, the prof would say, no, you got to come to my class, you got to sit down with me, you got to sit at my feet and learn. We noted that the scores in like pharmacy exams were higher for the people that took it online versus the people that did not take it online. So having that background, I said, let's build a platform. Let's build a HIPAA-compliant, confidential platform that allows an individual through text and through video, like FaceTime on an iPhone, therapy in a 90-day period, be able to treat and work with their PTSD symptoms. So here's what we do. We actually, okay, what we do is we actually make counseling accessible. We make it accessible because it's anytime, anywhere. You don't have to go to a counselor's office and sit down and wonder who's going to see me and what's going to go on. So the stigma is gone. The location is gone. You're not taking time off from work. You're sitting in your bunk room. You're going into your office or wherever you want to be. So we make it accessible. The second thing we do is we match you with really good counselors through our Sixth Sense counselor performance model. Now, the fact of counseling is this. Counseling, coaching, whatever you like to call it. If I relate to you, good things are happening. If I don't relate to you, either bad things or nothing happens. So we think matching is very good. And our COO was worked for Disney in HR and has built a fabulous program for us to screen and make sure we have the A counselors. And in PTSD, we have 35 counselors that are specializing in PTSD and are certified and have extra education to do that. The last thing we do, which is really exciting, is we measure. So when you come into our 90-day program, we measure you at the beginning, and I'm going to tell you something that really happened cool last week on that. We measure you at 6 weeks, we measure at 12 weeks, we measure you so you see your progress. And we give you a layman's report, we give the doctors and psychologists a clinical report, you've got a layman's report. Now, what I mentioned earlier was, last week, a firefighter came to us and said, I've got PTSD. Well, we use a series of tests. One's called My Mood Monitor, takes about 7 minutes. The other one's called Dana, which is a neurocognitive, like tapping test. Came back, his PTSD scores were very, very low, but his anxiety scores were off the chart. So he's more encouraged now than he ever has been because, PTSD is a little bigger issue than anxiety. So we think measuring progress is what makes good things happen. We want to change. I mean, the fact still remains is that more firefighters commit suicide as a result of PTSD than are killed in the active line of duty. Same thing with police officers. And we want to change that number. We want to make a difference. And by having this program where we literally make it accessible, make it easy, keep it anonymous, keep it confidential, match you with a good counselor, and measure your progress, it's the best of the breed out there right now.
Okay, so I just want to clarify. So the responder is going to be able to go onto a tablet, a computer, a phone, and virtually have a video conversation with a counselor. Because that's important on many levels. But Redline Rescue, for example, is going to start here in Florida. When it's up and running, it's going to be incredible as well and be an addition to what you guys are doing. But it's here in Florida. And I get a lot of people that are, in the middle of Wisconsin or, wherever they are. I spoke to a gentleman in Virginia yesterday. I don't know the resources for them. So this, I think, is a fantastic platform because now you're circumnavigating geographical barriers.
What we wanted to do is we wanted to take location out of it. And also, I'll tell you what we want to do. We want to get the best counselors. And if you live in South Florida and the best counselor is in Maryland, we want that to happen. If your best match is Maryland versus South Florida, we want you there. And so that's why we are excited about the video conferencing. By the way, the technology has only been good about 2 years. It's kind of the FaceTime. And we use a HIPAA-compliant platform that's our own platform that allows us to keep the medical records clean and ensure that there's confidentiality.
Okay. Now, you said about the counselors. Are they people that have been picked because they've worked with first responders and military specifically?
Most of the PTSD counselors either are ex-military or first responders. They've had extra training, and they've gotten there because of their backgrounds. You can't, and what we do in the military side is we match rank, too, because you don't want a little guy telling a big guy what's going on. So we try to match in those ways, and we seek to make sure that the individual gets the right fit. And here, because we're measuring, if 6 weeks goes by and scores are not dropping, we change counselors. And we tell the first responder, we don't think you're getting your money worth here. We think this is a need for a change. And so it's been very exciting for us to be able to make sure we get results. The answer is you can get results in 90 days. This is not a, you know, counseling traditionally has been, okay, I'm a successful counselor if you keep coming back. Well, we don't want you to keep coming back. We want you to get well. We want you to live again. We want you to have your life again, your family again. We don't want you to have the episodes and events that surround PTSD. You asked about where else we work. We do work with TRICARE. We do work with Choice. We're Choice approved. If you are 40 miles from a VA or 30 days out from an appointment, by the way, we schedule our appointments generally within 24 hours, then you can be in the Choice program.
Now, in the case of a crisis, is there any way of reaching a counselor immediately?
We have a 24/7 texting model. So that's a part of our program, that 24/7 crisis texting. So yes, you can. Now, you might not reach your counselor, but you will reach one of our trained counselors.
Okay, brilliant. All right, yeah, just to talk about one thing we talked about a moment ago, which was the police. An area that I've been exposed to that I didn't think about as a firefighter is the law enforcement community are even more afraid to reveal their own troubles because of the fact that they're carrying a weapon. So as you can see, you know, we just had that incident with the VA recently, that gentleman shot several people. So this, I think, is valuable for everyone, but it's certainly something for the first responders that are in law enforcement out there to think about is, again, if that's even a concern that stopped you from seeking help before, this would definitely be a viable alternative.
Well, it makes it easy because you don't leave your life. Most counseling sessions, you drive an hour, you take off work, you sit there, and then the counselor asks you hard questions for 50 minutes, you pour your guts out, and then you drive another hour upset about what you really told the counselor, and then you come back and your guy's saying, hey, where were you? This is simple. It's in your life. You get a few moments alone, you tag your counselor, you have your video session or group. We do groups also. And so it makes it accessible and it makes it easy and it takes that stigma away and it takes that time away and allows us to really meet the needs. Remember, the goal here is transforming lives, getting people to live again, getting them to be their best. And you, above many, know that when your mind and your body are working right, life is good. When your mind and your body is not working right, your life is not good.
Yeah, let me just talk a little bit more about this law enforcement officer aspect of the program. I was teaching the presumption at a recent conference with law enforcement officers, and I walked around all day speaking to these guys about this stuff. And their biggest reluctance is twofold. One, they don't trust EAP. They don't want people having access to their medical records. And number two, if they come out of the shadows and admit they have some form of or some degree of post-traumatic stress, the very first thing the sheriff or the chief is going to do is take their gun away. If they take their gun away, now they're not working. If they're not working, they're not earning a paycheck. And if they're not earning a paycheck, they're not able to provide for their family. This is critical in that regard because it takes all of that away. They don't have to worry about people having access to the records. They can do this privately. They can do it at home when they're not on shift. They don't have to drive their patrol car to a brick and mortar psychiatrist office and be seen. All of that goes away. So I think particularly as it relates to law enforcement, this is ideal. And they suffer probably, if not the same, more post-traumatic stress than firefighters. As it relates to either Redline, which I think is a wonderful program, I'm encouraging and trying to help these guys. I will try to help them get this thing launched. And the International Association of Firefighters Behavioral Health Center up in D.C., we want to be an alternative to that. I'm not out here, and neither is Rogers, to compete with anyone. We're out here to be an alternative to the in-house. I represent a handful of folks who, in fact, just came back from the internationals program. And when they come home, they're in the same situation as they were when they went up. They still need some help. They're having to go to an office, make appointments. And Rogers can even speak to this. I think the no-show rate, Rogers, to a regular doctor's office visit for post-traumatic stress is what, in the 30s or 40s? Yeah, 30s and 40s. Here it's less than 3%. Why? Because you have your counselor in your pocket. So I think that's a critical component to this. And so I hope to one day get up to the international and talk to those folks about being an adjunct to that program or any other program like Redline.
Yeah. Well, I think the international's facility is great, but I see a huge barrier to entry. I know it's very expensive and it's all the way up in the Northeast. And, you know, I think it's fantastic for the people that have been able to make it work that have attended. But seeing how many people are hurting, it's a drop in the ocean. I think we need things to add to that. Not demonizing that at all. I think it's great, but we need way more than we have at the moment.
You've hit the nail on the head. And I'm a 30-year guy. I still pay dues to the International. It's an incredible union. I've been a part of it since 1985. But as an alternative to that program, and for all the reasons you mentioned, this is a great, great program, this eHome Heroes. I'm going to let Rogers talk about the cost because you brought that up with the International's program, but through EAP programs or counseling in and of itself versus what the cost of this program is.
You know, it's very seldom that you get to come to the marketplace with a program that is more accessible, easier to get to, easier to use. It's measured very, very well, and it's the cheapest. So the cost, Florida League of Cities just did a study here and published a white paper, and their costs were between $6,300 and $18,000 for PTSD treatments. So our cost is $3,450 for 3 months. So we're either 46% cheaper or 81% cheaper. And so it's exciting to be able to offer a program that has this much financial win to it. And some of our firefighters right now have trusts that will pay for this. Some are paying for it on their own. Some have hadn't received grants for that. So there are all host of ways. And as the insurance companies see our data and see our results, I think they will join in too. But the cost is very exciting you think about $3,450, a little over $1,000 a month for 3 months. You know, the station, pays $100,000 to suit up a firefighter, get him right, get him going. I mean, this is a low price to pay for mental health. So it's very exciting.
Right. Now, in an ideal world, would there be some sort of package that you would want the employer to purchase so then they just have access whenever they need to? Or is this a case-by-case purchase?
It's a case-by-case purchase, and the chiefs want that too. They want a case-by-case because, remember, in PTSD, there's mild, there's moderate, and there's severe. And you really have to customize the program. That's why we like matching our counselors. So in the case of the guy I told you, he thought he had PTSD and he really had anxiety issues. By the way, his scores have dropped dramatically and been very exciting to see good things happen.
Yeah, because I'm just looking at the bigger picture. So you have the people who, are being crushed by it and obviously have the most severe symptoms. But the same way as, you exercise, you eat well, I think there's a component of using a counselor as an ongoing wellness initiative as well. So is there another tier that would allow access for that?
Oh, we absolutely do. I mean, we work for Blue Cross Blue Shield in that same way, and we just do, we call them head checkups, so that they can do that monthly or bi-monthly or weekly or whatever. So, we have models that allow us to keep people. What we're proposing and what we're seeing is that 90 days does a whole lot. Now, checking in afterwards, that's at the individual's own discretion. And we do offer that, of course. And some of the people, really bond with their counselors and, they want to keep talking to them, and that's fine too. I think we have to realize, according to the Harris Poll survey, 80% of firefighters, 90% of police officers, 92% of EMTs are exposed to a traumatic event. Now, we need to have a little bit of pre-education. This is what's going to happen to you. And you know better than me, because when you pull a kid out of a pool or cut a dead kid out of a car, you know how it affects you. You affects your body, and then that affects your mind. And so what we are proposing is a little pre-education and taking the stigma out of that. That's normal. It's not bad. It's not weakness. It's not all. That's a normal part of this job. And so these first responders, the military guys, they're gonna, you know, they're all gonna face issues of trauma in some way. And so our plan allows us to support them where they are, when they want it, at their schedule, private, confidential, anonymous.
See, I like that medium. I was just thinking when we were talking, some of the interviews that I've done that have gone to some pretty deep places, they've been actually, we turned the video off on Skype. So they have been video conference, but we even just did the audio only. But there's something about sitting in the comfort of your own home and their own home that allows you to go to that place that maybe, I don't know, maybe wouldn't be as easy when you're having to stare into the eyes of basically what is a stranger in their office out of your comfort zone. So I have to say that element of it I like, just for the fact I think that it will get people that maybe didn't want to physically stand in front of another person open up, you know, regardless of the geographical benefits, just the emotional benefits too of having that slight disconnect.
There, 69% of all people responding to telemedicine, which this would be telemedicine, they prefer telemedicine over face-to-face. And they do it for a couple of reasons. Number one, the accessibility and the ease of use. Number two, you have control over it. Whereas in the office setting, you're kind of sitting at the foot of the counselor. I will also tell you that what we're seeing now, and I'll have some statistics by the end of the year to really make my point here, the texting's a big deal, because people, you have two text sessions per week that are scheduled. They're 10 minutes long, but they're scheduled. You're going to text with your counselor these two times. You would not believe what comes over that text. You know, you really have this great view into what the person's doing on a weekly basis rather than just once a week in a counseling session. So more is said over text than you would believe, and it keeps our counselors able to ensure they're saying the right things.
Okay, another element I like that you talked about was you know, viewing this as having an endpoint. Like I'm, and Mike knows this, I'm very aggressive into recognizing this PTSD specifically in our profession. I'm very aggressive in the treatment of it, but I'm also very opposed to the abuse of it and just like a back injury or something else that you just give up on life and that's it. So obviously some people, it's going to be crushing. It's going to make them, you know, retire. But the goal is to make them come back and have that post-traumatic growth that we hear about and be stronger and be more resilient the next time. So I do like the fact that you have this testing and this endpoint. And if you need to re-up again because you see this progress, but it's slow, then that's good as well. But I think that the employer wants to see statistics, but I couldn't care less about what they think. Yeah. More to the point that human being, like you said, that quality of life, if they see themselves starting to make strides back to where they were used to be, I think that's a huge thing for them.
And the other part of it that is what I call honest, evidence-based research is if your scores have dropped and you're still complaining, we know there's something going on here. You know, and we can really tell you where the malingerers really are because we're testing. Now, honestly, not many people do, particularly in this first responder. They want to get well. They just don't know how. And so when we say you got a beginning, you got a middle, you got an end, you're going to get healthy. your mind and body are going to be working together again. That's what brought you into the profession. Your mind and your body are going to be healthy again. Your counselor is going to be in your pocket. You're going to have that 24/7 crisis texting if an event comes up, because events do not happen at 4 o'clock on Friday. You know, they can happen. You know, you can go on an alarm and something happens at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. So we think the combination of these alternatives and these accessible ways to get with a counselor coach is what makes this successful.
Right. Now, another thing that pops into my mind, there's a whole spectrum of ways that people have found therapy and growth, from service dogs to equine therapy and all these other, you know, more diverse arenas. Is there a way of these people being referred to things in their local area that will help assist with this treatment?
I mean, yes, we do. We do have referrals to those types of things, depending on the individual's desires and their needs. But our focus here is anytime, anywhere, any place, any country, accessibility. And we think the good news about telemedicine that we're speaking of, if I break my arm, I got to go in and see the doc. You know, I got to go to a stick and brick place. But if I'm working on my thought processes and my mental habits, I can do that face to face over a video phone just as easy. And so we think it's the best use of telemedicine in the marketplace, because this is talk therapy. This is discussion. This is reframing what your mind and your body are feeling. And that's what trauma and the solution to trauma is.
Okay. Now, you mentioned worldwide. So obviously we talked about Florida. We have a certain amount of things going on at the moment. This is going to be accessible in the U.S. But where else in the world is this going to be?
Well, it's currently accessible wherever there's Wi-Fi in the world. So wherever there's Wi-Fi, you can get a program. And we're very close to doing some work in Afghanistan. Hadn't started yet, but we will. And they got great Wi-Fi there. So wherever there's Wi-Fi, you can do this.
Okay. So now the audience is literally all over the globe. So that's fantastic that someone in, you know, Berlin may want to have access to this, and they literally can. So fantastic. All right. Mike, was there anything you wanted to add?
No. I'm just excited to get the word out about this this program, and I appreciate you coming in and allowing us to share it with your listeners. And, thank you.
Well, thank you. I mean, I think it's going to be, like I said, another great program. And I know a lot of people that I have had reach out to me just don't have the brick and mortar facilities around them or the licensed practitioners that are trained to deal with us. So I think this is really going to give another layer of access to them. So
yeah, that's what this is all about, James. It's the alternative. And if they want to, information about it, ehomeheroes.com. That's the program, eHome Heroes.
Okay, brilliant. Now, just so I want to elaborate on that very quickly. So if you are a responder, go to that website, how would you advise people that are interested from these departments to approach their employers with this project?
I would go to eHome Heroes, and I would get in touch with Katie or Kelly or one of our intake people, and they will walk you through how to approach your chief, how to do this, and how it works. So we like to hand carry people through and have a little bit of a personal touch. And so our CEO ran a very small people business called Epcot out at Disney. And so we are very into customer service, customer satisfaction, knowing what the customer needs, and so we do it individually. So go to eHome Heroes, fill out the form, send it in, or call the number, or email. That's easy ways to get, and then we'll walk you through it.